Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And we begin with the big news of the morning, the death of North Korean leader Kim Il-sung, only the second leader. Kim Jong-il, excuse me, only the second leader the isolated state has ever had. Kim Il-sung, of course, the original leader of North Korea. State media in Pyongyang claimed the dear leader collapsed from the effects of fatigue, suffering a fatal heart attack at an event commemorating the nation's rail service, although all those details are unconfirmed. The death was said to have happened 2 days ago, and if so, it has been an impenetrable 2 days for the outside world, attempting now to assess if a power struggle is going on or if the presumed heir apparent, Kim Jong-un, will officially step forward. Joining us now, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, contributor to our co-producer, WNYC, every Monday for The Washington Report, which you can hear on WQXR. David Sanger, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Great. So, David, in what sense could the world have been surprised by this? It was believed that the leader of North Korea was in poor health for quite some time.
Right. Kim Jong-il suffered from a stroke in 2008 and left the country for a bit for treatment, came back, looked pretty wasted away for a while. But I think the timing of this was something of a surprise because people who had been to North Korea and had seen him, including the Chinese who had seen him in Beijing just a few months ago, thought that he was in relatively good shape. So the timing was surprising. The big question is this, John. Kim Jong-un, his son, is known by almost nobody. He's in his late 20s. The CIA didn't know anything about him other than a photograph of him that they had about 2 years ago. They had up from the days when he was a student at a boarding school in Switzerland. So very little was known about him. And more importantly, there are many reasons to believe that the North Korean military may not want a third generation of a dynasty here. And so there's every possibility that he's not going to get the kind of allegiance that Kim Jong-il had in mind.
Talking with David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You know, there's a report this morning out of East Asia that suggests the Chinese, the closest ally of North Korea, may also be worried about a power struggle inside North Korea. They've alerted troops to the border with North Korea, suggesting that there might be a mass exodus of North Koreans. What might China be concerned in terms of, like, question marks? The Chinese are close.
Well, China's got several issues at work here. On the one hand, they don't particularly care for the North Koreans. On the other hand, they would rather have the North Koreans around than have the state implode because there are 23 million not very well-fed people there. And they're coming over the Chinese border if North Korea collapses because it's a long swim to Japan and the DMZ, which separates North Korea and South Korea, is not passable. So that's one of China's problems. China's other problem here is that if North Korea does collapse, it would put South Korea basically right up against the Chinese border with, of course, the United States, which is South Korea's great ally. And so when you go into the WikiLeaks papers that we were spending so much time talking about this time last year, there are fascinating conversations back and forth between American and South Korean diplomats about trying to plan for the day when the North collapses and what might be done to keep North Korea peaceful. And it's a pretty complex problem.
Hmm. Kim Jong-il's death, of course, the subject of my discussion with David Sanger this morning. His legacy will, of course, be making North Korea a nuclear nation for the first time. Tests and then actually tests of delivery systems for those warheads and the negotiations with the United States over North Korea's nuclear program, a program which appears to be one of its only exports. Those looked a little bit positive over the last couple of weeks. Is this an opportunity for the Obama administration, or is it a setback for what little progress seemed to be emerging?
Well, there have been talks about food aid. There's been very little talk on the nuclear program since President Obama came in. North Korea had a dream for decades of becoming a nuclear weapon state, back to the days when Douglas MacArthur argued for using a American nuclear weapon against North Korea during the Korean War. So this goes back 60 years. They didn't actually achieve the dream until after Kim Il-sung, the country's founder and Kim Jong-il's father, died in 1994. The first successful test that, and it wasn't that successful, that the North Koreans pulled off was 2006. And then they did a slightly more successful one just a few months after President Obama was inaugurated in 2009. What that did, though, was essentially turn everybody in the Obama White House into a Korea hawk. And the result is there's been almost no engagement with the North Koreans since, as the North Koreans have walked away from most of the agreements that they signed during the Bush years. And there was this famous moment where Robert Gates, the defense secretary until last summer, when asked about whether or not he would negotiate with North Korea again to, you know, pay them off to dismantle some of their nuclear programs, said, "I've already bought that horse once."
Right.
Well, actually, we've bought it two or three times.
Kim Jong-il is no longer with us. What is his legacy, in your view? And can the successor government possibly back down from the level of confrontation with the rest of the world that has been the tradition of this nation?
You know, John, I'd ask the question the other way. I think that if you're a young, untested North Korean leader, and the main thing you need to do is prove your mettle to a group of old military officers who think that you wouldn't be in your job save for the fact that your father happened to have been the country's leader for many years, you would be tempted to prove your toughness. And when you think about the two attacks on South Korea that the North executed in 2010, the sinking of a ship and the shelling of an island, there's a fair bit of intelligence evidence to suggest that, in fact, Kim Jong-un, the presumed successor, was involved in the planning those incidents, and it may have been to establish his military credentials. So we're actually entering a much more dangerous phase right now.
Which is why senior leaders in South Korea are meeting in emergency session. They presume that instability in North Korea is actually a pretext for more saber-rattling, and that would be the precedent for South Korea.
That certainly would be, and there was certainly some of that in the time when Kim Jong-il was establishing his authority from his father. But Kim Jong-il, who just passed away yesterday, or passed away on Saturday, he had a lot more time to be groomed for this job than his son does.
Kim Jong-il, the passing of Kim Jong-il, the leader of North Korea, his son, the presumed heir apparent, Kim Jong-un. David Sanger joined us, chief Washington correspondent for our part of the New York Times. He's a contributor to our co-producer WNYC on The Washington Report, which you can hear on WQXR every Monday. Thank you, David.
Thank you.